Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Well, I am going to start by asking you a question, and then we're going to get to the outline, although I'm going to read some scripture to you that is not on the outline, because as I was home this afternoon for a bit and just thinking about the service, there were a couple of things that came to my mind that I want to share with you. And recently, I've been in the Old Testament. On Tuesday nights, I'm doing a Bible college class, and we're studying the life of Joseph. And right now, we're in the Old Testament studying Abraham, and we're studying things from Genesis chapter 12 through Genesis chapter 22. And so I've been in the Old Testament a lot, and it's been a great reminder to me of promises that God made and the time in between the time God makes a promise and the time that the promise is fulfilled. And sometimes that is decades, sometimes even centuries. Sometimes not even in our lifetime do we see the fulfillment of that. And so we launched into a series called Faith Forward 2 weeks ago. I kicked it off with an introduction, and then last week, Pastor Roger, and then tonight, part three of Faith Forward. But I want to start by asking you this question, and I'm going to give you what I think is the answer towards the end of this message. And I just entitled it Faith Forward because that's the title of our series. But here's the question for you. What is the greatest hurdle that you must overcome? Faith forward means that God wants us to go forward in faith. That's what it means. And the men and the women that we study and that we aspire to live like and be like, and the ones that made it into the Bible, if you will, are the people who were compelled by faith forward. But every single one of them had obstacles and hurdles that they had to overcome, as do we today. We have obstacles and hurdles that we have to overcome. So what is the greatest hurdle that you must overcome? I suspect that for every one of us, it's exactly the same thing. And I want to give you the answer to that in just a few minutes, but I want you to think about it for a bit first. I want you to think about what the answer to that greatest hurdle. Think about the word greatest. That's a big deal. And there is a hurdle out there that I believe that if we don't identify and we don't confront, we don't pay attention to, it's going to hinder us, and it's going to keep us from going where God wants us to go. I want to start by looking at Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. We have, for the last couple weeks, we have started with Abraham because really the promise and the covenant that we have been talking about, faith forward on Wednesday nights, starts with Abraham, starts with this 75-year-old man who's just minding his own business, doing life, and all of a sudden God shows up and God says, I want to completely rearrange your life, and I want to change everything that you're doing, and I want you to go in a completely different direction, and I'm going to take care of all the details. You just need to have faith. Now that sounds easy, and it especially sounds easy when we read it, but when we live it, it's altogether different. It's altogether different when we have to live it out. So here's what Paul said in the book of Galatians, writing from prison, so he's probably got a lot of time on his hands, and he's probably thinking about things that he's learned ever since he was a little boy. Ever since Paul was a little boy, he was talked and told about Abraham. And he heard things about Abraham, and he knew things about Abraham. And for some of us, we have known Bible stories all of our life. For some of us, we've heard Bible stories for weeks. For some of us, we've heard Bible stories for months. But are the stories translating into transformation? Are the stories translating into our life being changed? Not just a head knowledge, but a changed life so that our life is forever different. So here's what Paul says in Galatians as he's remembering Abraham. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. The real children of Abraham then are those who put their faith in God. So that's us. What's more, the scriptures looked forward to a time when God would declare the Gentiles to be righteous because of their faith. That whole grafting in, we were grafted in Because of the faith of Abraham, we were then grafted in to this supernatural covenant that God made in Genesis chapter 12. We became grafted in and part of that covenant. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, "All nations will be blessed through you." So all who put their faith in Christ, say all. So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing that Abraham received because of his faith. That is a powerful statement. All of us who have put our faith in Christ, we share in the same, not part of, in the same blessing that Abraham received because of Abraham's faith. Now, along the way, we see many things that happened to Abraham that could have diverted him from God's best in his life. And all along the way, I submit to us that there are things that happen that want to divert us from the blessings of God and want to take us off of the path that God wants us to go on. God ordained the path and the direction and the design for your life long before the foundations of the world, as he did mine. So as we talk about faith forward, we have to understand the concept of this covenant that God made with Abraham. And I'm going to give you, it's not on your outline, I'm going to give you a definition of covenant, and then I want you to look with me at Genesis chapter 15. It's not going to be on your outline, so if you don't have a Bible, just grab one of those Bibles in the seat back in front of you. But here is a definition of covenant, because when God came to Abraham when he was 75 years old, he said, "I'm going to make a covenant with you, Abraham." And he reminded Abraham, he didn't just say at that time, he reminded Abraham when he was 86 years old that he had made a covenant. He reminded him when he was 99 years old that he had made a covenant. So God spent 25 years reminding Abraham that he had made a covenant with him. Why would he do that? Why would God need to remind Abraham that he made a covenant with him? Because along the way, the path is not always smooth. Along the way, there's potholes and there's dips and there's all kinds of things that distract us, and if we're not careful, divert our attention from the things of God. So here's a covenant. Here's what that means. And by the way, the same blessing, how do we know that? We read it in the Bible. The same blessing that God poured out on Abraham, he has poured out on us. The same covenant that God made with Abraham is my covenant today. A covenant is an agreement between two people or two groups that involves promises on the part of each other. God made a promise and God made a covenant. And what he reminded Abraham along the way during this covenant was that there was a role that he played in the fulfillment of the covenant. God made the covenant and he made promises, but he also said to Abraham, "Abraham, you're going to have to do some things along the way." I'm not going to read all of Genesis chapter 15, but I certainly would encourage you when you have time to do that. God called Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, and then when you get to Genesis chapter 15, God says to Abraham some things that are going to surprise Abraham. And as he says those things that are going to surprise Abraham, and let me just pick it up for you. Sovereign Lord, God says to Abraham, "Don't be afraid, Abraham. I'm going to be your shield and your very great reward. Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus." Abram said, "You've given me no children, so no servant in my household will have to be my heir." The word of the Lord came to him, "This man will not be your heir, but a son will come from your own body." Now look with me at verse 12 and 13. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. What must that have been like? A thick and a dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved." If God's going to talk to me about a covenant, and God's going to talk to me about promises and things that he's going to fulfill in my life, I don't like the idea of a dreadful darkness coming over me, and I don't like the idea of this next statement. "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own." Do you know that that is the case for us as believers in Jesus Christ? This is not our home. Heaven is our home. We are strangers in a foreign place, just like God is saying to Abraham. "You will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated for 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions." When the sun had set, I'm jumping down to verse 17. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking firepot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. And then he describes the land that he's going to give him. So God says to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, Abraham, I want you to leave. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you, and I want you to go. Abraham starts on that journey, and he's a few years into the journey, and then all of a sudden, God reminds him that I'm going to fulfill my promise through you. He's thinking, I'm getting older. How, God, are you going to fulfill the promise through me? I'm now in my 80s. And Abram's beginning to talk himself out of what God wants to do in his life. And so the Bible says that God begins to give Abraham a dream. And during this dream, this dreadful darkness falls over him. And he prefaces a lot of the dream by saying in the beginning that it's going to be hard. Not only is it going to be hard, it's going to be really hard. And I just want to say to all of us as we dive into this message that we have to understand what God means by covenant. God made an agreement with Abram that he would fulfill his part of the covenant. And God will be faithful to fulfill that part of the covenant. But along the way, the challenges that come to us are the parts of the covenant that we must be faithful to. I'm not talking about in a legalistic or a works mentality way, but I'm talking about the responsibility that we have. And so as we go through this tonight, I want you to think about what that means to us. Because as Abram was going forward in the fulfilling of this covenant, there were several things that could have gotten him completely distracted from what God had said to do and completely off of course. So let me give you number one, and let's dive into this. Number one, faith forward starts with my consent and requires my cooperation. So with Abraham, when he came, he said, Abram, I want you to go to a land that I'm going to show you. So Abraham had to consent to it. He had to say, okay, God, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to go on this journey, not knowing what it would take, except that he had to leave. So often in our lives, when God asks us to step out to do something, we know the first step and nothing more. We know nothing more than God says, take that first step, and then between that first step and the fulfillment of a promise or a lifetime in walking with God, there's one thing after another, after another, after another, that if we're not careful, will distract us from what God wants to do in our lives. We know Hebrews chapter 11 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Anyone who wants to come to him has to believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. So when I read Genesis chapter 12 through Genesis chapter 22, when God was fulfilling the promise, when God said to Abram, the seed is going to come through you, Abraham. The seed is going to come through you. What happened between Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis chapter 22? There are several key things that happened that I believe that each and every one of us experience in our lives as we follow Christ. And if we don't understand it and we don't recognize it, it's going to interrupt what God is trying to do in our lives. So let me give you number two, and then we're going to dive into what I think these things are. Faith forward requires training, and it comes through testing. Faith forward requires training, and it comes through testing. God had made these amazing promises to Abraham, but it was going to come as a result of God training him, and the training was going to come through testing. I've said this many, many times before. I often remind myself of these things when I'm teaching at YWAM, because there's a certain curriculum that we follow each week when we're teaching at YWAM. And I remind the students when they come with this passion and this desire in their hearts to follow God, I remind them often that from the time that God spoke to me that he'd called me to be a pastor until the time it was fulfilled was 10 years. It was 10 years and 2 months. And there was so much work that went into what God was doing in my heart during those 10 years and 2 months. I didn't sign up for it and I didn't want it, but there were a lot of things that God had to do in my life. And when we're talking about faith forward, and we're talking about moving forward in our relationship with God, there are a lot of things that God has to do in our lives, whether we see it or not. Whether we understand it or not, there are things that God needs to do, and it has to do with training, which requires testing. and the testing in our lives that come. And I found some tests that Abraham had to experience in his life that I believe that each and every one of us will have to experience. And if we don't understand it and we don't recognize it and we don't see the value in it, we can get off course. So, number three. Let me give you number three then. The test of famine. The test of famine. This reveals our surplus levels. When Abraham left, when God said, go to the land that I will show you, the Bible says that immediately when he left, the first thing that he did was experience a famine. Can you imagine that? Imagine God speaking to you and God telling you to step out in faith to go do something. You step out in faith to go do it and you experience a famine. Abraham experienced a famine that affected the whole land. And we're talking about a physical famine of food and water. But oftentimes in our lives, when we step out in faith to do something, we experience a famine. We know that God has spoken to us, and we step out to do something, and all of a sudden, everything begins to dry up. Have you ever had that happen? It just begins to dry up, and you think, God, did I miss you? Did I not hear you right? God, what happened? The Bible says in Genesis 12:10, at that time, not just a famine, but a severe famine struck the land of Canaan, forcing Abram to go down to Egypt, where he lived as a foreigner. Forcing Abram to go down to Egypt, where he lived as a foreigner. There are times that famines come in our life, and they force us to make decisions. We need to be wise in the decisions we make when the famines of life come. Be wise in those decisions. You cannot avoid the famines of life. They will come. They came to Abraham. God made a promise to Abraham. He made a covenant. He said, Abram, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make your name great, and I'm going to bless all the nations because of you, but I want you to know that there's going to be 400 years of slavery and 400 years of bondage. That's not a good way to get somebody started in life. When you read the story of Abraham, he tells Abram, you're not even going to see it yourself. You're going to die at a good old age, but you're not going to see the fulfillment of all of these things. What do you do when the famines in life come? When you experience the famines and things don't go the way you thought they should and things begin to dry up and you think, God, could it get any worse? God, could it get any drier? Could it get any more desolate? What do you do when those times come? Because when the famines come, they really do reveal your surplus levels. If you're not pouring in, if you're not filling yourself up, if you're not staying focused on what God wants to do in your life, when those famines come, what's going to happen? We're studying, as I said on Tuesday night, we're studying the life of Joseph. And Joseph, for 13 years, one experience after another, after another, after another, contradicted the dreams that God had given to him. He had dreams as a teenage boy, and one thing after another, year after year after year, for 13 years, contradicted those dreams. Spiritual famines, they come. Part of faith forward is understanding that that's part of the walk. We cannot expect to go forward, faith forward, that is, in faith. Faith is what? The ability to go forward, not seeing what the next step is. If we don't understand that famines will come, we'll get discouraged, we'll get disappointed. We stop. Some people stop in their journey because of famines. Abraham was diverted and it led to some difficulties in his life, but unfortunately, people don't just stop sometimes at being diverted. Sometimes it literally paralyzes them from going forward. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for my life, and he wants us to move forward. He wants to fulfill the covenant in our lives that he's spoken and that he's promised, but the famines are going to come. And when the famines come, we need to understand that if our surplus levels are not where they should be, where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? Where are we going to go when the famines come if we don't have the truth in our hearts? Where are we going to go? Where's the answer going to come from? If you're experiencing a famine, you know what I'm talking about. Let me give you the next one. The test of fear. The test of fear came to Abram. It wasn't Abraham yet, he was still Abram, but the test of fear, which reveals where your confidence comes from. Abram said to Sarah, we're going to have to go down into Egypt because there's a famine in the land. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 12, verses 11 through 13, As he was approaching the border of Egypt, Abram said to his wife Sarah, "Look, you're a beautiful woman. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is my wife. Let's kill him so we can have her.'" So here's what Abram says to his wife. "So please tell them you are my sister. Then they will spare my life and treat me well because of their interest in you." We know it caused big problems for Abraham. We know Pharaoh finds out. It's revealed. God comes to Pharaoh in a dream and says, "Pharaoh, that is Abraham's wife. You can't take her for a wife." But what motivated Abraham to make the decision was fear. The test of fear. The test of fear comes sometimes in our lives. What are we going to do when the test of fear comes? When the test of fear comes, it should show us where our confidence is. Is our confidence in God, or is our confidence in our circumstances or in our situations or even in our dilemma, the thing that we find ourselves facing? The test of fear will come. It's going to come. And it's either going to paralyze us or it's going to cause us to take matters into our own hands. In this case, here's a man that had heard from God. God said, "I'm going to be with you. I'm going to bless you." All of a sudden, he finds himself in this situation. He's heading down to Egypt, and he realizes this could go south for me real quick. And he begins to get paralyzed with fear. The test of fear will come in your life. The test of fear will come in my life. What are you going to do when the test of fear comes? It's meant to reveal where your confidence lies, not to paralyze you. It's meant to reveal where our confidence lies. My confidence does not lie in God, I'm going to miss it. There's been multiple times in my life where I've come to that door. I've come to that door, and I've been face to face with the doorknob. And I'm going to open the door. I wrote this down in my notes. It's not on your notes, but I just thought about it yesterday. I remember a time knocking on a person's door and them telling me that they had a little dog. "Just knock on the door and go ahead and come on in. We just have a little dog." And I remember knocking on the door. They're not home, and I'm knocking on the door. They told me, "Just come on in the house." I knock on the door, and I start hearing the growling behind the door, and I'm thinking, that sure does not sound like a little dog to me. And knocking on the door, and all of a sudden, the dog starts to bark, and I'm thinking, I am sure that is not a little dog. And the more I'm knocking on the door, and I'm thinking, they told me it's a little dog. That's not a little dog. I know that's a big dog. I can tell by the bark. And I think sometimes the more we knock on the door of fear, the more we convince ourselves that what's behind that door is really something that's not really behind that door. And Abram, instead of trusting God and instead of believing that God could handle any and every situation, fear began to get a hold of his heart. And as he knocked on that door, the dog behind the door got bigger and meaner with sharper teeth, and it growled louder. And if you don't understand when the test of fear comes, if I don't understand that when the test of fear comes, that it's going to growl back at me. And if I'm intimidated by that, the longer I knock on that door, the bigger that thing behind that door is going to become. And God brought, see, it's God that brought these tests. It's God that spoke to Abram, "I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless all of the nations through you." And we just read in Galatians that we're linked to those blessings. The same blessings that God said were Abraham's are mine, are yours. And along the way, I'm going to have to knock on these doors. I'm going to have to deal with the famines when they come, and I feel like there's nothing. I feel like I'm dry, and I'm empty, and there's nothing there. And then that test of fear. What do I do? I don't have the money. How do I do it, God? What am I? And we've all faced those things. But there's a right answer and there's a wrong answer. There's a solution. And then there's my solution. It's either God's solution or it's my solution. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36 say, "Do not throw away your confidence." This is right before Hebrews 11. This is right before the great heroes of faith chapter in the Bible, which Abraham is mentioned in. "Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded." You need to persevere. Abram had to learn to persevere. As we go through the next several months, next several weeks talking about faith forward, and we start talking about the role players, the Lots and the Sarahs and all of the other role players in this story, we see all of the different things that they had to do, but they had to persevere. You need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what he's promised. You and I will receive what God has promised when we pass these tests. Even when we don't pass the tests, God is going to be faithful. But I don't want to have to experience tests that are not necessary in my life. When I knock on the door of a test, I want to pass it the first time in the simplest way possible. So how are you doing with the test of famine? How are you doing with the test of fear? Fear was the foundation, and it was manifest in control. Fear was the foundation that motivated Abram in this situation to make the decisions that he did. Fear was the foundation. If they find out, he's going to kill me. If they find out, God won't be able to fulfill what he said to me. How many times have we done that? We've rationalized in our minds, God has said something to us, and we find ourselves in a dilemma, or we find ourselves in a situation we can't get out of, and all of a sudden we try to fix it on our own. We try to come up with the solution on our own. So fear for Abram at this point was the foundation. God was trying to show him that. God was trying to show him why, because there was a much greater test coming. There was a much greater test coming with his son, and there's much greater tests that are coming. There are tests along the horizon. Why? Because this is not home. We're foreigners in a strange land, and we've been here for 2,000 years since Jesus first came. We're going to be in heaven. We're going to be in eternity, our home one day, but until then, we're not living in the promised land. We're living in the land where the challenges are and the giants are. So the test of fear. Is fear the foundation? Is fear the foundation of how we live? Is fear the foundation of the decisions that you and I are making? The next test. The next test is the test of failure. The test of failure. This will reveal how you respond to disappointment. The test of failure. Abram failed. He made the decision. He made the wrong decision, and it cost him. And it cost him greatly. The fear and the test of failure. Every single one of us fails in life. Every single one of us does things that we wish we wouldn't have done, that we regret, that have brought great disappointment. What do you do when the test of failure comes? It's not meant to discourage us. It's not meant to defeat us. It's meant to reveal things to us. We can't do it in our own strength. Abram could not fulfill the promise of God in his own strength. You and I cannot fulfill the promise of God in our own strength. So what have you done when you failed? What are you doing today when you fail? Sure enough, when Abram arrived in Egypt, everyone spoke of Sarah's beauty. When the palace officials saw her, they sang her praises to Pharaoh, their king, and Sarah was taken into his palace. Then Pharaoh gave Abram many gifts because of her: sheep, goat, cattle, male and female, donkey, male and female, servants, and camels. But the Lord sent terrible plagues upon Pharaoh and his household because of Sarah, Abram's wife. So Pharaoh summoned Abram and accused him sharply. "What have you done to me?" he demanded. "Why didn't you tell me she was your wife?" Failed that test. Walked right into that test, and he failed that test. He took matters into his own hands. We have to be careful that we don't take matters into our own hands. We have to be careful on this faith-forward journey that we don't try to control God and we don't take matters into our own hands. Whether we're studying the life of Abram, whether we're studying the life of Joseph, whether we're studying and looking at our own lives, we've got to be careful that we don't take matters into our own hands. It's too easy to do it. We're too self-sufficient. We're too self-dependent. And we take matters into our own hands, and that's what Abram did. So the test of failure reveals how we respond to disappointment. How do you respond to disappointment? Do you get back up? Do you start over? Do you press on? Or do you let it hold you down? Fortunately, Abram pressed on. But before he pressed on, Abram moved from trusting to scheming. That's what he involved Sarah in. He moved from trusting to scheming. He took matters into his own hand. The test came, and he took matters into his own hand, and he began to scheme in the natural. How am I going to handle this? We have to be careful that we don't move into that. Don't move into taking things and don't try to control things in the natural. This faith-forward journey is going to require us to do things we've never had to do before, go places we've never gone before, and trust God in ways we've never had to trust God before. How do you do with that? How do I do with that? Do I scheme? Do I try to figure things out on my own? I asked you this question at the beginning of our study because I've been thinking about it in my own life. Been thinking about it in my own life recently and really thought a lot about it this week. What is the greatest hurdle that I have to overcome? What is the greatest hurdle that all of us have to overcome? And here's what I'd like to submit to you is the greatest hurdle that all of us have to overcome. And it's not on your outline, but it's the past. It's the past. And let me tell you what I mean by it being the past. The greatest hurdle that we have to overcome is the past, because the past holds the key to the future or to taking us back. And here's what I mean by that. When you think about your life and you think about the past and you think about what's happened in our lives, what's happened in your life to this point, what's happened in Abraham's life, what's happened in Joseph's life, the past holds the key to either the future or keeping you stuck where you are today. Let me give you an example of what I mean. The life of Joseph. Think about Joseph for just a minute. Joseph experienced all of these things where every time he stepped out in faith to trust God, he got disappointed. Every time Joseph stepped out in faith to trust God, somebody accused him of doing something, or somebody told him he was wrong, or somebody put him in prison, they put him in a pit. Every single time that Joseph stepped out, every time Joseph had another opportunity to step out, he had to choose what he was going to do with the past. We are either going to choose to let the past unlock the future for us or hold us bound up in the past. Joseph, Abram, you, me, whoever it is, as we begin to move forward in our walk with God, we have keys. We have keys in our life, and the keys will either unlock the future, depending on what we do with the past, or they will close the prison doors around us. What are you doing with your past? The failures, the hurts, the hang-ups, the things that you've experienced, the things that you've gone through, is the key that you have hanging right there in your life, is it the key that locks you into your past and holds you in your past? Just like what Catherine said with that prophecy. There's fresh blood for the past. There's fresh blood for the things that have happened in our past. If you have the wrong key and you lock that door, it will keep you locked into the past. If you take the right key with the right lenses and the right perspective and open it, your past doesn't keep you bound up, but your past allows you to go forward. The past for Abram allowed him to go forward because as he passed these tests, he learned the lessons that he needed to learn. So what are you doing with your past? What am I doing? The past is the greatest hurdle for each and every one of us. People today are locked in their past. And if you stay locked in your past, you can't go into your future. One of the things that that I get the privilege of doing at YWAM is teaching the character of God for 1 week. And partway through the week, I do a teaching called Monsters Live in the Dark. And I had one of the students ask me on Thursday, what does monsters that live in the dark have to do with the character of God? And the way I described it to them was this, that if you have a monster that lives in the dark, whatever it is, if it's unforgiveness, if it's fear, whatever it is, if you have something that lives in the past, it's going to keep you tethered to the past, and it's going to keep you bound up in the past. However, if you recognize that thing in your life and you unlock it with the right key, and that key opens the present for you and allows you to move into the future, you're not going to be bound by things in the past. One of the reasons that Abram was able to go forward is not only because he passed the tests, but because he did the right thing with the past. We have to do the right thing with the past if we want to go forward in our walks with God. Let me give you the next one. Number 6, the test of fighting, which reveals my priorities. Abraham had to fight battles. Abraham had to fight battles. He had to fight battles for himself. He had to fight battles for his family. He had to fight battles for his future. And you and I are going to have to fight battles. Faith forward requires that we pass the test of fighting. This reveals my priorities. We know Lot was moving about with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents, but the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. Quarreling arose among Abram's herdsmen and the herdsmen of Lot, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and all those living in the land at the time. Abraham said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and I or between our herdsmen and mine. If the whole land is before us, let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Genesis chapter 14 says, as Lot did that, Abram let Lot choose, Lot becomes a captive. In Genesis chapter 14, when Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he called out 318 trained men born in his household and went in pursuit as far as Dan. During the night, Abram divided his men to attack them and routed them, pursuing them as far as Horeb, north of Damascus. He recovered all the goods and brought them back to his relative Lot and his possessions together with the women and the people. Abram's on his way to possess the land, to fulfill the inheritance, to all of the things that God had spoken, and right along the way, he has to fight battles. He has to fight battles. There's tests that you have to fight. There's tests that I have to fight. There's battles that I have to win along the way if I want to fulfill what God has called me to fulfill. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 and 19 say, Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them you may fight the good fight of faith, holding on to faith and a good conscience. Some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. Where did we ever think that it wasn't going to be a fight? If we ever thought it wasn't going to be a fight to go forward in our faith, we're misled. We're misled. And maybe it's because of the past. Maybe because of past hurts. Maybe we don't know how to fight right. Maybe we don't know how to fight fairly. Maybe we don't know what that means to fight for the things of God in our lives. But there will be a test, and there will be a test that comes your way, and you're going to have to fight for your future. You're going to have to fight for your inheritance. You're going to have to say, no, this belongs to me. This is what God says, and I'm going to press through it. I'm going to fight for my family. That's what Abram did. He fought for his family. We have to fight for our family. We have to fight for our future. We have to fight for our inheritance. And if we don't think we will, we're foolish. Abram had to do it. We have to do it. Let me give you the final one, and let me close with this. I'm going to invite the band to come back up here, and let me close with this last statement. You know, we're in covenant relationship with God. God made a covenant, and he's a covenant keeper. He's not a covenant breaker. My responsibility is, in my fulfilling of the covenant, is that I've got to believe God. It's really that simple. I've got to believe God. I've just got to believe that God's in control, and if God said it, he's going to fulfill it. If God said it, he's going to accomplish it. If God said it, he's going to complete it, and I just continue to move forward, trusting God, move forward, trusting God. If the famine comes, I deal with it the right way. If a fight comes, I deal with it the right way. If a failure comes, I deal with it the right way. Number seven is this. Faith forward sees the invisible, it believes the incredible, and it receives the impossible. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.